No.
We're recording. Just 1 second.
Why? Is there
I
one?
I have.
No,
I drove.
I think there might be. What's the?
We're live.
What's from home?
Hmm? No, I talked to Helmsworth about the handicap.
We're on.
No,
okay. Yeah, yeah, we're on.
Yeah, no. Maybe we should hold up on him and go to confirmation today until you get that handicap accessible.
Mm-hmm.
What's the board's call, then? Let's go to the handicap state.
Okay. We're live, we're on?
Yep.
We're good? Okay. Call the meeting to order of the New York State Racing and Wagering Board, August 30th, 2012, in Schenectady, New York. We're joined by my colleagues on the board, Mr. Dan Hogan and Mr. Charles Diamond, and the appropriate staff as needed. Call the meeting to order.
At 11:06.
Thank you, Acting Secretary Kristen Buckley. We will now hear from the public if there is any public testimony. Seeing no rush to the microphone, we will move the agenda then.
Just so you know, we have received email comments from Gary Greenberg, and yeah. I will attach the comments to the minutes.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
No others?
No.
What about it?
He must be on vacation. Okay. let's call the agenda then.
The approved minutes of board meeting held on July 30th, 2012.
Members of the board have the minutes in front of them. Any additions or corrections? Hearing none, we'll move the acceptance of the minutes. All those in favor?
Aye.
Minutes are approved. Next item.
Items previously approved or deferred by the chair, there are 43 this month. Items previously approved, denied, or deferred by the board, there were 9. And items to be approved, denied, or deferred by the board today, there are 15. And the first item is Certificate of Incorporation, Oswego Racing Incorporation.
Okay. Mr. Casaragola.
Thank you, Chairman. Oswego Racing Incorporated is requesting board approval for their Certificate of Incorporation for a new harness racing corporation, which would be the eventually the 8th racing license in New York State if proceeds. The parcel of land for this project is located within the town of Hastings in the county of Oswego. The project proposes combining paramutual racing facility with a dirt auto racing facility and any other lawful activities. The facility will have a half-mile synthetic dirt track that will be used for harness racing, harness horse racing, and auto racing, and a 2.2-mile asphalt road course as well for auto racing. Any corporation that desires to conduct race meets at which paramutual harness racing is to be conducted pursuant to racing laws section 305 and 307 must be formed under section 302 of the racing law. As you know, section 302 sets forth 8 elements that must be contained in the certificate of incorporation. The proposed certificate of incorporation for Oswego Racing contain the 8 elements, and staff has reviewed them and determined it fills the technical requirements as required under the statute. The elements are summarized in the memo that are before you, and a copy of the certificate is also before the board as well. It's noted that board approval of a proposed certificate of incorporation does not confer a license to conduct paramutual harness horse racing. The board's approval would confer the right provided under racing law section 304 to hold harness horse race meetings subject to compliance with all racing law article 3 provisions. The corporation, if approved, will have the right to apply for racing law section 307 paramutual track racing license. Staff has met with representatives of Oswego Racing Incorporated regarding the process of obtaining the harness racing license for a track. And have gone through the various procedures and the time frames in which it is expected they would have to be commenced and completed. It's recommended that the Certificate of Incorporation of Oswego Racing Corp be approved to provide the opportunity for the applicant to proceed with the proposed plans to establish a harness track in Oswego County, New York.
The I attended the staff briefing on this matter, and it was a very well thought out proposal. This is the first step, obviously. It allows them to incorporate with the Secretary of State. We have done this, members will remember, with other proposals in Onondaga County and one in, I guess it's in Franklin County?
Franklin, that's correct.
and one in Sullivan County. So this would be the fourth that we've done for the eighth harness license. Questions or comments on the item?
Yes,
Mr. Hogan.
Tom, what would be their next step now? What are they, did they express to you what their plans were? I mean, I've looked through the information, and as the chairman said, we've got four different corporations formed for this one existing and remaining license. So what's the next step for them?
The next step for them would be to proceed to start to finalize the actual site and facility plans for the construction. So there would be, I would anticipate that they would, at this point, after this approval gets through and they ultimately receive the certificate from the Department of State after the board endorses it, they will continue to work with their architects and plan out the track. Then there will be, as we advise them, they should have several planning meetings with board staff, so to make sure that they meet the requirements for a paramutual racing facility for the construction phase. The next part then would kind of be twofold. They would have to get approval of the plan to build the racetrack, and they'd have to start to get permits to do so from the board. Simultaneously, I would envision they'd probably get their financing secured, and the suitability reviews of the principals and any money coming in would be done by staff at that time.
Okay, if I could follow up then, what's the status of the other three corporations that are currently wanting to do the same thing?
They're in various stages of that process. Right now, I mean, some are a little further along than others. For example, the Concord has had some plans before the board, and I think the plans were approved by the board, and there was one permit issued for footing. That construction, I believe, has changed, so they really would have to come back at that stage to continue with the permitting process. They're also kind of neutral as far as obtaining financing. The other applicants, the Syracuse one and the one in Franklin County, have these certificate of incorporations in place, and they're in the planning stages, from what I understand. We've had several meetings with the Syracuse one for the facility layout, but nothing has been finalized. And I think we've had one or two with the Franklin one as well. So this one is a little bit behind the other ones, but that could change quickly at this process.
This is a unique project. Is there any other projects in the United States like this?
Combining the racing, the car racing element? Not that I'm aware of. It's different. I understand
how do you keep the pit separate from the paddock?
Hopefully.
It's interesting.
In addition, the other applicants have had discussions with the Division of Lottery, and this applicant has not, because this applicant says they will proceed without video lottery terminals if necessary.
Our discussions with them indicate that they believe that the auto racing element of the full plan will provide enough economic engine, if you will, to continue the project and to help subsidize, if needed, in the racing side of it.
Well, we're gonna have car racing subsidies for the first account.
And we'll have to see how that plays out. I mean, they didn't really go so far as to say that.
I guess just my concern in terms of, and I'm going to vote for it, is because we've done this, is we need to start figuring out how we make a choice of one of the four, because there's only one license left.
I think, to be perfectly frank, the message that has come from the governor's overall look at gaming from 30,000 feet is that they want to make sure it all fits into a more global look at things that would involve commercial casinos if there is a second passage in the constitutional amendment. So that my impression is that there is no rush to issue a VLT license with this eighth license. And this may be what fits into that, or doesn't fit into that scheme, so that we would allow them to have a license. But
did they say if they would go on if they were just going to build the car track?
That is their impression to us, that they could obtain the financing based on the economic engine that leasing a track to auto clubs and the like would provide.
And frankly, I can tell you that in my reading of sports business news and magazines around the country, there's a need for this. There are lots of car clubs that really want to go on a private track and be able to use their performance cars in a way that they can't do on public roadways, except for the Garden State Parkway, apparently.
Well, thank you, Tom. Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions or comments on this item? Hearing none, we'll move the item. Certificate of Incorporation, Oswego Racing, Inc. All those in favor?
Aye.
Item is approved. Next item.
Saratoga Harness Amendment to Certificate of Incorporation.
Mr. Feierstein.
Thank you.
Your appearance early in the agenda.
Yes, indeed. Give Mr. Casaragola a voice break.
Right.
This is also a Certificate of Incorporation item, perhaps not as scintillating as the prior item, but nevertheless an important matter for Saratoga Harness Racing Incorporated, which operates Saratoga Casino and Raceway. Saratoga Harness Racing Incorporated is, of course, a harness racing corporation, and in order to amend its certificate requires the written approval of this board and the board's endorsement before any amendments can be filed and accepted at the Secretary of State's office. So in July, Saratoga Harness Racing Incorporated requested and presented to the board an amendment to its certificate of incorporation and request board approval for it. This amendment would incorporate the power that a New York State business corporation can have under Section 714 of the New York State Business Corporation Law. And this involves loans to directors. And this amendment would provide that the corporation can lend money to or guarantee the obligation of any director, officer, or shareholder of the corporation, provided that the board of directors determines that the loan or guarantee benefits the corporation and that the board of directors either approves the specific loan or guarantee or a general plan authorizing loans and guarantees. Corporations formed after a period of time in New York automatically have this power. However, corporations such as Saratoga Harness, which preceded that effective date, must specifically include this power in order to have it and exercise it as it wishes. So this is simply an amendment to permit Saratoga Harness Racing Incorporated to exercise the power otherwise available under Section 714 of the Business Corporation Law. I recommend that the board approve this. If it's approved, the necessary endorsement will follow and the amendment can be filed.
Questions or comments from the board members on this item? Hearing none, we'll move the item. Saratoga Harness Amendment to Certificate of Incorporation. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item is approved. Mr. Burstein, you can carry that news to your client.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
The next item.
Saratoga Harness requests to implement new wager, Pick 5.
Mr. Casaragola.
Thank you, Chairman. Saratoga Casino and Raceway is requesting the board approve a new wager that they wish to offer, a Pick 5 wager at Saratoga. They propose holding the wager on races 6 through 10, beginning shortly after the board's approval, should it occur today. The minimum wager they wish to place will be 50 cents. Saratoga is proposing using a takeout rate of 25%, regardless of a carryover or non-carryover pool. Current New York State rules for harness racing do not have a Pick 5 rule as found in the rules. Sorry. However, pursuant to NYCRR Rule 4122.49, entities may offer, with board permission, any wager defined by Chapter 9 of the 1996 Association of Racing Commissioners International Model Rules. Saratoga Casino Raceway has requested this new wager under the various provisions found under that provision of the ARCI rules. Scientific Games also requested to use Method 6, Pick N, with no minor pool, and a carryover. Pursuant to this rule, the entire pool and any carryover shall be distributed as a single price pool to the winners. If there are no winners, then that pool will be added to the carryover. The detailed rules for the wager are attached to this memo for board review. Department of New York State Tax and Finance conducted a tow test, and by letter dated August 1st, tax reported no issues with the test and has recommended that, if approved, Saratoga Casino and Raceway provide end-of-day wagering reports from the first day of wagering so that they may review it to ensure the system is operating as tested. Saratoga is also requesting permission to offer guaranteed pick five on Wednesdays and is requesting permission to offer a guarantee of at least $1,000 with the flexibility to offer more if they choose. The guarantee will be part of the USDA program, and USDA will fund up to 50% of any shortfall to achieve the guarantee. Saratoga Casino and Raceway would eliminate superfecta wagering on the nights of the guaranteed pick five. Staff recommends the board approve this request conditioned on the following. The pick five shall be conducted in accordance to the submitted application and reference rule. Saratoga Casino Raceway shall provide a copy of all end-of-day wagering reports from the first day the Pick 5 wager is offered to the Department of Tax and Finance for their review, and that Saratoga Casino Raceway shall notify the board when it terminates the guaranteed amount.
Questions or comments on this item from the board?
Chairman,
Mr. Firestone,
if I may, just to clarify, although the written materials indicate that this is method 7, I just wanted to clarify that it is in fact method 7, not method 6, so that those who are listening will not be confused. The other thing is that because this is a wagering rule that does not specifically appear within the body of the board's rules, although it's incorporated by reference, I would suggest that the board require the track to provide some, although I think that they would in any event, to provide very clear notice to the patrons of how this wager will work and of the various intricacies of it, whether it's put in the program or it's posted by the windows or it's made available on their website for internet and other wagering purposes, just so that there won't be any confusion.
Okay. The intricacies of pick fives and pick fours and with scratches and dead heats and all that become grist for a lot of discussion amongst horse players, so the more information it gets out, the better, I think. Questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, we'll move the item. Saratoga Harness, request to implement new wager, a pick five. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item is approved. Next item.
2011 maintenance of effort payments 1017-2A and additional payment 1017-2B.
The Mo, as it's known. Mr. Casaragola.
Thank you, Chairman. As you know, this comes before the board annually now. Section 1017 has two provisions that provide that those off-track betting corporations in New York State that offer nighttime thoroughbred are required to make, may be required to make certain additional payments if they offer nighttime thoroughbred racing as defined in this section of law. Section 1017-2A, it's easier if you just read that section briefly as an explanation. As it pertains to the off-track betting corporation. Any OTB which engages in accepting wagers on simulcast of thoroughbred racing from out of state or out of country is permitted under subdivision 1 of this section, shall submit to the board for its approval a schedule of payments to be made in any year or portion thereof that such off-track corporation engages in nighttime thoroughbred simulcasting. In order to be approved by the board, the payment schedule shall be identical to the actual payments and distributions of such payments to tracks and purses made by such off-track corporation pursuant to the provisions of Section 1015 of this article during the year 2002 as derived from out-of-state harness races displayed after 6 p.m. If approved by the board, such scheduled payments shall be made from revenues derived from any simulcasting conducted pursuant to this section and section 1015 of this article. As you can see, the section provides for certain statutory minimum payments to be made, and the effectively a hold harmless payment to the regional tracks should the OTB's offering of nighttime thoroughbreds adversely affect their revenues. The schedules, as required under this particular section of the statute, have been provided to staff and been reviewed and are summarized in the memo that's before the board. As you can see, we list the each regional OTB owes to their respective regional track under section 1017-2A for the year 2011. It should be noted that the method used to produce these schedules is the same method that has been followed for the previous years and has been subject of, I guess, some dispute, but has held to be the method to follow. Based on the information provided, staff recommends that the board approve the schedules submitted and directs that the OTBs to pay the amounts owed to regional track in accordance with section 1017-2A. It should be noted that the second provision, 1017-2B, there is no payment required under this particular section this year with the closure of New York City OTB. As you can see, the calculation for this is based that if the total statewide thoroughbred racing exceeds, nighttime thoroughbred racing exceeds $100 million, then there's an additional hold harmless provision to be made. With the closure of New York City OTB, that threshold has not been met. In fact, it's not even close. Therefore, there's no payment.
Even with nighttime Breeders' Cup races?
Even with that.
Was it ever hit?
It was hit, I think, in 2008 and 2009.
Remember that.
Yeah.
I think those are the only 2 years that we did have some payments.
New York City was functioning.
Right. Okay. Questions or comments on the MO?
Two minor points. One is that I'm pleased to say that I think that this determination will be the first one that will not be challenged. One never knows for sure, but I think there is a...
Don't make the litigants in the room unhappy.
I think there's a dearth of remaining issues involving this.
One of the issues is, can I pay it?
And that's a good segue into my next minor point, which is that historically the board has directed that these monies be paid no later than 30 days after the date of the board's approval of the schedules, and I would recommend that the board follow that and direct that payment be made no later than 30 days from today.
However, in the case of Suffolk, it's complicated by their filing, is it not?
It may be complicated by their filing.
Because
these are monies that predate or obligations that predate, but I'm sure bankruptcy counsel will opine on that.
Questions or comments from the board on the maintenance of effort payments?
No.
You guys are cooperative today.
Try.
Moving on the item then, 2011 maintenance of effort payments under sections 1017-2A and additional payments that don't exist under 1017-2B. All those in favor of the schedule? Aye.
Aye.
Item is approved. Next item.
Capital District Regional OTB, new member to Board of Directors for Albany County, Arnold Mendoza.
Mr. Casaragola.
Thank you, Chairman. By letter dated July 26, 2012, Capital District Regional Off-Track Betting Corporation requested approval of the appointment of Mr. Arnold Mendoza to their Board of Directors to serve for the representative for Albany County. Mr. Mendoza will be replacing Mr. John Chiaramonte upon approval of the board. Mr. Mendoza was appointed by the Albany County Legislature on June 11, 2012, and a copy of the resolution from Albany County Legislature is attached to this memo. Staff performed a limited suitability review of Mr. Mendoza, which consisted of reviewing public records, credit history, personal history disclosure form, and a check of federal and state fingerprints. A review of the above items did not reveal any potential disqualifying information. As has been past practice, Assistant Counsel Bill Sekulic has interviewed Mr. Mendoza regarding his duties and responsibilities as an OTB director should he be approved. Based on the above, staff recommends the approval of Mr. Mendoza as the director for Albany County on Capitol OTB's Board of Directors.
Questions or comments from the board?
Welcome aboard, Mr. Mendoza. Good luck.
Thank you, Mr.
Mr. Mendoza has a solid reputation, and he has a good reputation for his work in the community, and I'm sure he'll be a fine addition to the board.
Both our Albany County members have expressed support for Mr. Mendoza. That's good enough for me. We'll move the item then. Capital District Regional OTB, new member of the Board of Directors for Albany County, Arnold Mendoza. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Item is approved. Next item.
Mr. Chairman, before you go to the next item,
Mr.
And now that Mr. Mendoza is officially a member of the Capital District Regional OTB, I hope that he will take it upon himself to discuss with his fellow board members at Capital Region OTB the lack of handicapped access at the Troy location. It's something that we brought up at the last board meeting. It hasn't been remedied. As a matter of fact, it's worse now than it was a month ago. There's a liability exposure for not only for the owners of the facility, but also, I believe, for Capital OTB. So good luck to Arnie Mendoza addressing his fellow board members on that issue.
Thank you, Mr. Diamond.
I get a little bit concerned when I hear the handicap can't handicap.
I get a little more concerned about the handicapped who have no access to be able to bet, the retired person who can't climb a stair or two or three or four.
Where is this place?
It's in downtown Troy.
Where in Troy?
Uncle Sam Lane's.
Uncle Sam Lane's.
It is, and it's not handicapped accessible?
Well, it's a contention of the franchise that it is, but our inspections have proved it to be not.
Why do we need to have the whole board then? Why can't we just talk to Capital District OTB's council here
and
say that we'd really like to see that place accessible?
That's been done.
Oh, okay.
Good. Now, we expressed our displeasure with the lack of accessibility that was purported to us upon further inspection by our board members.
That's got to be one of the bigger places, too.
Yes.
For handle, right?
Yep. Mm. Okay. Next item.
Nassau Regional OTB request to amend account wagering plan of operation. Change the electronic signature vendor.
Mr. Casaragola.
Thank you, Chairman. This is a somewhat technical item. However, item that's submitted by Nassau OTB that does require board approval. They're basically changing their vendor who provides electronic service signatures. Section 5300.4 of the board rules defines electronic signature as an electronic sound symbol or process attached to or logically associated with an electronic record and executed or adopted by a person with the intent to sign the record. The board previously approved eOriginal as the vendor that provided electronic signature services to Nassau OTB. Nassau OTB is now proposing using Sportech to provide the services. Sportech, as you know, is Nassau OTB's toll provider. According to Sportech, its electronic signature system was developed to meet the board's regulations and is similar to the eOriginal system previously adopted by the board. In fact, it's almost identical. Sportech believes its system is more user-friendly and efficient while offering the highest security. The applicant is presented with the completed application and a traditional signature panel. Once signed, the application form, electronic signature, and all other related data is encapsulated into a single, secure, non-reputable permanent record that can be retrieved only by authorized personnel when needed. Staff recommends board approval of this item.
Questions or comments from the board?
Yes, please.
Tom, Mr. Hogan.
What about the existing members with online accounts? Do they all have to reapply through this new system?
I would assume we would have to go through the process to establish themselves with the new vendor. I don't know that for sure, but it seems like that would be the logical step to do that.
Okay, it's been tested already?
Yes.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, we'll move the item Nassau Regional OTB request to amend account wagering plan of operation, change of the electronic signature vendor. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item is approved. Next item.
Nassau Regional OTB requests to amend account wagering plan of operation, increase ACH limits.
For those playing at home, that's an automated clearinghouse, ACH. Mr. Casaragola.
Thank you, Chairman. By letter dated June 29th, 2012, Nassau Regional OTB requested board approval to amend its account wagering plan of operation to increase the amount of ACH funds immediately available from $500 to $1,000. Currently, Nassau OTB will provide immediate funds for ACH transfers of up to $500 for customers who have at least one successful transfer and have had no bank chargebacks or bounce checks within the prior 6 months. This was approved by the board when the Nassau OTB account wagering plan of operation was approved. Staff has reviewed Nassau OTB's chargeback history for ACH transactions. The following table that is listed in the memo that's before you was provided by Nassau OTB to give us a summary of the history of transactions. As you can see, the percent outstanding returns is well under 1%. According to Nassau OTB rules, customers who have ACH or check chargebacks are ineligible for ACH transactions for 6 months. Customers with a second ACH or check chargeback would be ineligible for 2 years. I think the $1,000 threshold is similar to what has been approved by the board for other New York State entities.
Questions or comments from the board members? Hearing none, I guess we'll move the item. Nassau Regional OTB requests to amend account wagering plan of operation to increase the automated clearinghouse limits. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item is approved. Next item.
Can I go down to request for approval of totalizator agreement with United Tote?
Mr. Casaragola. Well, can we make these next two a complementary?
Yes. Yes.
Would the secretary call the next item as well, please?
Vernon Downs request for approval of totalizator agreement with United Tote. Sorry.
Close. Mr. Casaragola on the complementary.
Thank you, Chairman. Both Tioga Downs and Vernon Downs have requested board approval to implement their new totalizator agreement with United Tote Company, their current tote provider. Pursuant to Section 5100.6b of the New York State rules, no contracts between the totalizator company and authorized parimutuel wagering entity can be implemented without board approval. The effective date of both agreements is June 1st, 2012, and the term is for 18 months, with the option to renew for an additional 6 months. The contract includes United Tote's Enterbet wagering interface, FastBet compatibility, player tracking, and W2G support. United Tote will replace a number of the Versa SST terminals with F4 terminals at both facilities, so they're upgrading the equipment at both tracks. With that, staff recommends approval of both items.
Questions or comments on the Tioga Downs and Vernon Downs items?
I'd like to
make Mr. Hogan.
Last week, I took part in the SIF inspection at Vernon Downs with Pat Wade, and I would be remiss if I didn't say I was quite impressed with the overall condition of the facility, how it's being kept, and the responsiveness of the management to the requests that we make. Had no issues raised by the horsemen, which is probably a first anywhere. As I said, the physical grounds were in excellent condition, and the renovations that they've made to the hotel in particular, I don't know how they did last night with the Bruce Springsteen concert, but I was very impressed with the changes that they've made over there. And I hadn't been there the previous year, so I just wanted to pass that on to everyone.
Good news.
Kudos to Jason Sotomayor.
Jason was
outstanding. Outstanding job.
The whole, that's the other thing about it. The whole operations team was there with us on the tour. They built new turnout paddocks, which are absolutely beautiful, and I understand that was Jeff Correll's idea himself. As I said, I thought it was a pretty good overall inspection. It was very good, actually. So, that being said, plus that's still, I do think it is the nicest track, and it's the biggest. It's just beautiful.
It is a beautiful facility with a beautiful vista overlooking
the countryside. Any other questions or comments on these items? Hearing none, we'll then call to a vote the items Tioga Downs and Vernon Downs. Request for approval of totalizator agreement with United Total. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Items are approved. Next item.
I think we should just skip to the Suffolk item that was added last. It's Suffolk Regional
Fee.
Fine.
That makes more sense than the rhythm of this meeting.
Last correctly right now, right? Okay.
Okay.
Suffolk Regional, to be quick, that Tommy's Place at Rocky Point, new owner, Daniel
Pesci.
New name, facility, Parmenides.
Mr. Casaragola.
Daniel Fish.
Thank you, Chairman. Suffolk OTB requests an amendment to their plan of operation to include the approval of new owners of Carmody's. The location was formerly known as Tommy's Place at Rocky Point and was originally approved by the board on April 30th, 2009. Carmody's is located at 42 Broadway at Rocky Point, New York, in Suffolk County. The entity holds a valid liquor license. Suitability review was conducted on this establishment and the principal, which consisted of personal history disclosure form, financial disclosure form, personal tax returns, credit history, business records, criminal history, and various background checks. Term of the agreement will be for 1 year, may be renewed annually at Suffolk OTB's option. Should the board approve the request, staff recommends the approval include the following standard conditions, if you will, that are the board typically places on easy bet facilities. One, wagering and simulcasting at the facility be conducted in accordance with the terms of the operating agreement presented to the board, as well as all applicable statutes and board rules, and that all wagering will be conducted through self-service terminals only. Two, the board's approval to operate a quick bet facility at this location shall expire and be of no force and effect in the event of any change in ownership or operation without prior written approval of the board. And three, it's expected that Suffolk Regional OTB will arrange for the occasional inspection of this facility to ensure compliance with the plan of operation, relevant laws, board rules, and requirements, and to certify the board on a periodic ongoing basis that the conduct of wagering at this facility is in compliance with the foregoing. With that, staff recommends approval.
Questions or comments on the item? Hearing none, we'll move the item. Suffolk Regional OTB. Quick bet, Tommy's Place at Rocky Point, Suffolk County, new owner Daniel Pesci, new name Carmody's. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Item is approved. Next item.
Notice of adoption, maximum fine amount in horse racing.
Mr. Firestein.
This is the first of two rule matters before the board today. This is for consideration as a adoption of proposed amendments to board rules to raise the maximum allowable fines cited in the rules from $5,000 to $25,000. This is a technical amendment inasmuch as this authority exists pursuant to Chapter 240 of the laws of 2010, and this simply replaces the references of $5,000 with the reference to $25,000. This was a consensus rulemaking, and there were no comments received in response. It's recommended that the board approve the adoption of these rule amendments.
Questions or comments from the board? Mr. Diamond.
I'm extremely pleased and relieved with this amendment. It now gives the board the opportunity to enforce stricter rules against our violators. And I would say that if people are involved or plan to be involved in this industry, that they think again if their plan is to disregard the rules of the New York State Racing and Wagering Board. It's all good, as some of my friends would say.
Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, we'll move the item. Notice of adoption, maximum fine amounts in horse racing. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item is approved. Next item.
Notice of adoption, reimbursement rule for harness racing officials.
Mr. Firestein.
This is a new section 4101.41 of the board's rules. It's before the board for adoption today. This rule is in effect via emergency rule adoption and implements Part Y of Chapter 58 of the laws of 2012. Pursuant to that chapter, the costs for one associate judge and the starter at each harness track are to be reimbursed by each licensed racing corporation where those individuals are employed. This amendment appeared in the June 20th, 2012 State Register. The public comment period expired August 6th, and there were no public comments received. If this is approved, it will be published in the September 19th State Register, and the permanent rule will be effective that day, although, as I indicated, the rule is presently in effect via emergency rulemaking.
So, questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, we'll move this notice of adoption, reimbursement rule for harness racing officials. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Items approved. Let me thank Assistant Counsel Mark Stewart for his work on the prior two items. We move on to the People's Court.
In the matter of John Cummings, Jr.
Mr. Firestein.
Thank you. This is a harness racing case involving the appeal by driver John Cummings, Jr. from the decision of the judges at Buffalo Raceway, which suspended his license for 30 days based upon a finding that he drove the horse Mr. Ricky N in the fourth race on July 16th of last year with a design not to win or in a manner inconsistent with an attempt to win in violation of Board Rule 4117.4N. There was a hearing scheduled and held before Mr. Parenti as the designated hearing officer. Mr. Parenti has submitted the report, which the board has before it, together with the record, in which it's recommended that the violation and license suspension imposed by the judges be upheld.
Questions or comments from the board members? Hearing none, we'll move the item then. In the matter of John Cummings, Jr., all those in favor of upholding the hearing officer's decision, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Item is approved. Next item.
In the matter of Stephen P. Cohen.
Mr. Firestein.
Thank you. This is an appeal by Harness Racing Services, General Services license applicant Stephen Cohen, from a refusal to issue a license to him. The refusal was based upon findings at staff level that Mr. Cohen had failed to fully disclose his criminal history on his license application. There was a hearing held before Mr. Parenti, once again as the designated hearing officer. The hearing officer has submitted the report, which the board has before it with the additional materials, and the hearing officer recommends that the board affirm the license refusal.
Did Mr. Cohen appear at this hearing?
I believe he did appear at the hearing, and I believe he testified. I will double check.
Because in reading the case, it was unclear to me that he appeared.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's on MP3.
Number?
B3. Yes. Yeah, actually, it says that on page one, that Stephen Cohen represented himself at the hearing. Because typically the hearing officer will make a finding that the applicant or the appellant did not appear or wasn't.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. It is the page where he. Right, I have it. Okay. Page 5 is what I was looking for, which is his arguments, and I remember reading this before. Okay. That's right, because he was told he didn't have to
resume
disclose.
Resume drafting.
Right, he was told he didn't have to disclose.
It was a felony.
Felonies on his, by his resume drafting class instructor, and therefore I thought that was applicable in all forms of life, including, I guess, final judgment. I have no further questions. Anyone else?
Nope.
That's right. I remember this now. Okay. Hearing no other questions, in the matter of Stephen P. Cohen, all those in favor of upholding the hearing officer's findings?
Aye.
Signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Next item.
in the matter of Salvatore V. Marchese.
Mr. Firestein.
Thank you. This final adjudicatory matter today involves an appeal by harness racing trainer farrier applicant Marchese from the September 23, 2011 refusal to issue a license based upon a reported positive human drug test. The matter was heard before designated hearing officer Parenti on written submissions after receipt of a motion to dismiss the appeal as untimely. There was no opposition to the motion, and the hearing officer has submitted the report you have before you, in which he recommends that the board dismiss the appeal as having been made in an untimely manner.
Questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, we'll move the item in the matter of Salvatore V. Marchese. All those in favor of upholding the hearing officer's findings?
Aye.
Item is approved. One housekeeping note, I'm happy to announce that Nicole Luskin has joined the Racing and Wagering Board to work in our audit unit, which needs help because of an incredible workload that they have performed admirably in an understaffed manner. She'll work primarily in Indian gaming, but will also provide support and assistance in general matters as well. She comes to us from Controller DiNapoli's office, where she's been working as a senior auditor. Welcome to the Racing and Wagering Board as currently constituted. With that, I'll ask the secretary to close the meeting.
Items for board information or discussion, there were 5 this month. And follow-up items previously approved, there were 0. And I'll adjourn the meeting at 11:52.
See you at the Woodward. Oh.